Blog Talk Radio.
Father God, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, Savior and Redeemer to us all, Father, thank you once again for allowing us to see another Shabbat. Thank you for giving us your breath of life. Thank you for leading us and guiding us and protecting us throughout this week, Father. Father, we ask that you forgive us for all our sins that we commit knowingly and unknowingly, Father. We ask, Father, that you impart upon us your Spirit. Let it lead us and guide us in all wisdom, knowledge, and truth, and understanding. Father, reveal to us your will. Reveal to us your word, Father. Let us do and speak what is only pleasing in your eyes, Father. Forgive us when we have hard hearts, hard heads. Forgive us when we do anything that is outside of you, Father. We're frail, but you, Father, are the mighty one. You are our mighty one. Father, continue to perfect us, Father. When we go to the left or to the right, Father, bring us back to your path with your chastisement, Father. And your loving kindness, bring us back. In Yahushua's name, we ask all these things, giving you praise, glory, and honor, Father. You are worthy to be praised, you and you alone. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Hol Shavah. Shabbat Tov, family. This is your brother, Deuel, Bible 101. And today, we're going to continue to talk about Torah. Today, we're a term, but as all foundational scriptures. Starting at verse 1. It reads, "Hear the word of Yahweh, ye children of Israel. For Yahweh have a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of Elohim in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Yet let no man strive, nor reprove another, as they that strive with the priests. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day, and the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night, and I will destroy thy mother." My people are destroyed of knowledge. And we learned that people are being destroyed for the corruption of knowledge, not for the lack of knowledge that they had. They corrupted. "My people are destroyed for the corruption of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to see me, no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim. I will also forget thy children, as they were increased glory in the children. They eat up the sin. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and have not enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to Yahweh." So again, when we read this passage, they took the knowledge that Most High gave them, corrupted it, and now that they have this corrupt knowledge, Yahweh is saying he's going to deal with them for it, because they corrupted the knowledge that they gave them, that he gave them. So, today, we're going to be looking at a term, because the Torah is comprised of many things, but one of the things that we look at is laws, statutes, judgments. Today we're going to look at the term called command. Now, what is a command? The way Webster's, I guess dictionary.com or something like that. It gives all these different meanings. In the verb sense, one of the meanings is give an authoritative order. So, first off, for you to command something, that means you're in a position of authority. Another A in the verb sense means, in the archaic verb sense, to control or restrain. So that's saying that you, in parentheses, it says oneself or one's feelings. So that means, again, you're in an authoritative position, but now you're into the point where when this command is given, that means it's supposed to be followed out. Another definition in the verb sense. Be in a strong enough position to have or secure something. And about strength, which also goes hand in hand with authority. In the noun sense, one of the definitions is an instruction or signal that causes something to perform one of its basic functions. So, in the noun sense, a noun being a person, place, or thing, it's something that tells you what to do. And again, most of these other definitions in the noun sense are just like the noun definitions of the verb tense. But I'm looking at the etymology of this word. And it comes from a Latin word, which is cum mandare. And it basically means the part of commander, the C-O-M, that's really a prefix in Latin. And it means expressing intensive force. So it means whenever you see, when you hear the cum part of it, it means you're forcing something to do it. It's an intense force, which shows the authority or the control. Then you have the word mandare, which means commitment. So when you look at the word command, it's a strong commitment, all right? It's a forceful commitment or a strong commitment. This is how that word was composed in Latin and the English. So, in Latin to the English. That's the etymology of how it came about to be in English. So when you think of what Yahweh wants from us when he gives us command, one, when someone gives you a command, because we're going to look at a couple different things. And not only is Yahweh giving commands, but there's other people that give commands which need to be followed out. You have a priest that gives a command. They have commands that they are giving, that they give to the people. You have father. They give a command. If you don't follow your father's instructions, like we read last week, bad things will happen. You know, when we went through the Proverbs, that was a father commanding his son to do certain things. Stay away from this. Don't go down with that strange woman. Keep my laws. Keep my statutes. He's telling them to do it. That's a command. And, you know, it's not, when we read those things, you know, we're reading them. But when you really trying to impress something from a parental standpoint, when you're really trying to impress something onto your child, it's forceful, it's strong, because you really want your child to get it. It's not, son, listen to me. No, son, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. You know, it's emotion there. You know, so these are the different things that when we look at these things, why Yahweh feels a certain disrespect when we don't do what he says. Yahweh gets emotional about his kids because his the same way we get emotional about our kids when we don't when our children do something that is so if I'm going in and out, please forgive me. I'm trying to catch it when it happens. All right. So again, command is given from an authoritative position. Now, in the book of Ecclesiastes, I believe that's how you say it. Chapter 12, verse 13. Conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man, that where a duty is written in that. But what is a man, what is man supposed to do? He's supposed to do what Yahweh told him to do. That's what he's supposed to do. That is, that's what completes us, you know. So I was talking to my brother, Ahab Bell, a couple days ago. Yeah, it was a couple days ago. I was telling him how I felt. I'm like, I said, you know what? No matter what I do, no matter what, how I'm feeling, I can't. I'm content. Whether I'm happy or if I'm sad or, you know, because right now I'm feeling happy. I'm not sad. I'm not high. I'm not low. I'm even keeled. You know, I'm not wanting and I don't have excess. I'm good. But I always feel like something is missing with me. You know, no matter what I go through, no matter how good things are, no matter how happy I always feel like something is missing. And he's like, he said, I'm glad you're like that. You always talk about your feelings, you know, how you feeling and everything, because I was feeling the same way, you know. And I said, man, I just can't put my finger on it. No matter what I'm going through, I'm smiling. I'm not hurting or nothing like that. I'm not overly happy. I'm not overly sad. I'm good. The job going, it's not going great. But it's not going horrible either. It's good. But it just seems like something's missing. It always seems like something's missing. So then I read this. To follow the laws of Yahweh and his commandments, that's what completes us. That's what makes us whole. So now I got to look and see, am I missing something? What am I missing? Because I'm missing a command. A command I'm not doing. And this is why I'm feeling this way. You know? And that's only if you believe the word. You know, feeling that way, there's something that you're not doing that Abba wants you to do. That's why you're feeling that way. And that's why you're brought to that awareness. It might be something simple. You know, like giving more to the poor. Or something like that. It might have been a time when somebody needed something, they really needed it, and you had it and you didn't get it. You know, that might have brought about a spirit. Or it might have been a time when your brother needed to talk to you and you didn't make time for him. That might have happened. But, you know, I'm just giving those scenarios because, you know, I do those different things. You know, I always try to make time for my brother if they need a hit, if they need an ear. But point being, I'm not doing something. There's something there that Abba needs me to go through that checklist and find out exactly what it is. You know? That's why that spirit is there. It says, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So, if we're not doing something, if we're not obeying the Most High, he is going to bring that out, whether it be good or evil. He's going to, whatever you did in secret, whether it was good or evil, I was going to bring it to light. You know? All right. Now, one of the other things that I found real interesting, I found a couple things interesting looking into this word. One of the things that I found real interesting is that you don't find this word. The word for command is tzavah, or in this case, it was mitzvah, which is it's the same word except for one mem on the beginning of it, where mitzvah has a mem at the beginning. And that is normally translated as commandment, you know, where tzavah is the same word as mitzvah, except for mitzvah has that mem on the beginning, and that's normally translated as, it's translated as a bunch of words. We're going to look at a couple of them, but for the most part, command, all right? But one of the things that I found very interesting about this word is that you don't find it in Exodus chapter 20. You don't find this word in Exodus chapter 20, which kind of threw me off a little bit because this is where you find the, what we call the Ten Commandments. You know? Matter of fact, just make sure, again, because I was looking for it. I was actually looking for it. I'm sorry. I was just wrong. You found the extra chapter 20, verse 6. My mistake. I was looking at the other word, and I forgot to look up this one. So that's wrong. Sorry about that. I will correct me. Hallelujah. But I was looking at Psalms chapter 119. And this particular one, when you read, we're going to read the first 16 verses, which is the Aleph and the Bet and Ab. And this is where you find it talks a lot about keeping the commandments in the first two verses. And why is it that it starts off this song this way? It's something else I found very interesting. Because when you think about the Father, he's talking so much about walking in his law, keeping his Torah. He starts out this particular psalm this way. So, Psalms 119, verse 1, and this is for the Aleph. He says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the Torah of Yahweh, the law of Yahweh." And we looked at that word undefiled the other day, and that word meant complete. This verse 2, he said, "Blessed are they that keep his testimony, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." So, from the very beginning, that's the word mitzvah. Thou hast commanded. I mean, tzavah, sorry. That is the word for commanded. At the very beginning, when you're talking about the Aleph, so far, in these four verses, he's talking about, you know, he's seeking him with his whole heart, doing no iniquity, walking in his way. He even said, he talked about walking in his way at the beginning. And in verse 3, he says again, "They that walk in his way." Verse 5, he says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments." That word, mitzvah. "Unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." So when you're talking about the Aleph, walking in his ways keeps Yahweh from forsaking, from not forsaking you. He said, "When I keep thy statutes, when I walk in thy ways," this is how we seek Abba with our whole heart. Then we can praise him when we go through those things. He said, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgment." hold that thought for a second. Now let's go to for the verse where it talks about count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations. I can't find it. I will find it at another time. But walking in the precepts and his law allows us to rejoice. Now, Paul wrote in his writings, we should count it all joy that when we fall into diverse temptations, because James 1. Okay. Toda, brother Dan. All right. Shafut El, our brother. James chapter 1, and it says verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all, and I was wrong, it was James who wrote this, not Paul. That's why I couldn't find it. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So, we're walking with the Most High. We're on his path. Now, temptations have to come. But because we understand the law, his laws, his commandments, we count it all joy when these things come, because we understand they're trying and they're working for the good of us. This is why Yahweh allows these things to happen to us. Stay on his path. So you count it all joy. Now, is it going to be joyful? No, it's not going to be joyful. But you count it as joy. The same way the Most High said, Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness. The faith he displayed was counted as righteousness. That's how Yahweh sees our faith. He counts it as righteousness, right? So the way when we go through these diverse temptations, it means we should be happy that our faith, knowing this, the trial of your faith work of patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Again, like we read in Ecclesiastes, to obey his commandments is the whole of man. That's what completes us. So part of our obeying the commandment is falling into temptation, is going through the temptations. I've got to see if we're going to obey his commands, if we're going to show him the honor that he deserves, because it's coming from an authoritative stance. It's coming from he's the authority. He's the one issuing the command. So that means we're below him. When we follow his commands, we bring him honor. Psalms 119. And again, when we don't follow his commands, it says we bring him shame. In verse 6, it says, verse 5, it says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy, unto all thy commandments. All right? Now, the bet. And start at verse 9. That was the Aleph. And this is the bet. Verse 9. Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, by taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Again, mitzvah.
Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Yahweh. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy, have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
So, these two letters form, as we know, Father. And this is how he starts out this song that is dedicated to all 22 letters of the alphabet. Very first thing he wants us to know, walk in his ways. Walk in his ways, obey his commandments, follow his statutes, have respect for his commandments. All right? And they will keep us. They will preserve us. All right? The very first time that I could find this word being used is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And this is the word tzavah, or command. It reads, and Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So, the first time this word is used is when the Most High is talking to Adam, because that's who he was talking to in this case, father to son, you know, because we read later, Adam was the son of Yahweh, son of the Most High, father to son. This is the first time that a command, the word command or the word tzavah was being used from an authoritative standpoint. And Adam wanted to bring It was for Adam to bring honor to the Most High whenever he received that command. Because as long as he obeyed it, it was honor to the Most High. All right? And we know what happened. Ended up disobeying and serving another. So that right there shows who had authority over him, because Hasatan gave a command also in a deceptive way to his Isha. And that Isha ended up, Adam went down, and he ended up being the servant of Satan. Why? He obeyed the command of Satan, dishonoring his creator and taking on a new authority. All right? So, again, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 11, this is what, you know, we were just talking about. He says, and he said, who told thee that thou wast in that tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? Did you disobey me, Adam? You did not follow my command, did you? So now you're in a state of fear. Because if you read before that, he was afraid. That's what he said. I was afraid. And we hit, he said, right before that. Verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So disobeying commands brings on fear. Think about the military. All right? Officer gives a command to someone under him. If they do not obey that command, they are subject to punishment. It could be extra exercise. It could be less food. It could be you getting locked up. It could be you getting beat up or something like that, depending on where you're at. You know, because different militaries do different things. You know? it could end up with your life being taken from you, depending on if you're on the battlefield or not. You're on the battlefield, the officer issues you a command, you don't do it, they are subject to killing you, you know? So obeying commands and respecting authority is really high on the list of the Most High, right? In 2 Kings, chapter 23, verse 3. Starting at verse 1. 2 Kings, chapter 23, starting at verse 1. And it reads, "Then the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of Yahweh, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of Yahweh. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before Yahweh to walk after Yahweh and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and with all their soul." So now they enter into an agreement because they read, they found the book, they found Yahweh's Torah. They read Yahweh's Torah. And now they are entering into a covenant or an agreement with Yahweh to walk after his ways and everything like that. Walk after his ways, his statutes, his testimonies with all their heart. Right? He says, all their heart and with all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. Again, keep his commandments, keep his testimonies, keep his statutes. They made an agreement to do that. So this is coming from the king, an authoritative person. Had his people agreed to this and himself, right? So they have to honor this. Because whenever you are issuing this command, issuing commands, you're showing respect, you know. Nowadays, you have people, and I kind of understand things because there is a lack of respect for folks now in authoritative positions. Everybody thinks that they can do what everybody else can do, and it's simply not true. All right? Especially when you're talking about the household of Israel. Every time that we read who are selected to do jobs, they're called by name. It's not potluck, you know. It's not a lottery or anything like that. They're called by names to do specific people. They're called by name to do specific jobs, you know. When we just read through Chronicles, and he was naming the course of the priests, he named who everybody who headed the course, he named them. He told about the brothers, and these were the main ones, and it was people underneath them. He didn't name everybody. It was just people underneath them. He named the head porter in the area that they were supposed to clean up. He named these people specifically. It just was not potluck, all right? Because these people were given a certain honor by the Most High. Everybody can't do everybody's job. And we keep getting this illustration of the body. You don't walk on your hands. I mean, some people can walk on their hands, but your feet are designed to walk. you know. Your legs are designed to bear the load of this body, not your hands. Your hands have a different purpose. You don't see with your fingers. You see with your eyes. Each and every person is specific within the household of Yisrael. You know, each and every person. Yahweh called us for a specific purpose. And we have to honor that what we were called for. We have to give it the utmost authority. Now, do we always want to? No, because there's plenty of times when myself and other teachers sometimes just don't want to do it. It gets like that. But again, our patience is being tried. You know, we've fallen into these diverse temptations. And Abba want to know, are you going to give me my honor? You know, are you going to give me my honor? This is the Father giving a command to his kids. Are we going to show Abba his honor? You know, that's the question. All right, Genesis 18:17. And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command, that's our word again, he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham of that which he has spoken of him. So again, this is something that the Most High looks for. He gives you a command, and what he wants you to do, command your kids. All right? So the honor that you bring onto them is something that your children is also supposed to do. Now, do they have a life? Do they have a brain? Do they have a choice? Yes, they do. But he wants you as a parent to teach your kids. That's what you're supposed to do. Show them the way. You know, because they're men and women just like we're men and women. They're going to fall into diverse temptations just like we fall into diverse temptations. You know, but Abba want to know, are they going to choose him? Are they going to give him his honor? You know, as much as we would love to live our life for our kids, we can't. There's things that they have to experience. You know, they have to know Yahweh for themselves. That's just the fact of the matter. We might want to drag them and say, look, you're going to do this. You can't. Because it wasn't done to us. It's not fair. It wouldn't be just, as the Most High said. That's all we can do is teach them and show them. And they have to pick Yahweh on that one. In those cases, that was the Father giving a command and the King giving a command. Now let's look at someone else giving a command. All right? In Leviticus chapter 14, verse 4. Then shall the priest command to take for him to be cleansed. Now again, this is the priest, right? Then shall the priest command to take for him to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in the earthen vessel over running water. All right? So this is the command for the priest to cleanse a person of leprosy. Now, we have a story in here with Elisha. All right? Naaman came to him, and he was leprous. So he told him, he didn't do this. What he told him was, go take a bath in the River Jordan. Do that seven times, and you'll be clean. Now her mom said, well, dang, that's it. I was expecting the sky to split open and an angel come down to touch me and this, that, and now all I got to do is take a bath. I'm going to go back to Damascus and take a bath. But that wasn't the point. Second Kings 5. Oh, yep, I had it right here. Yep. Second Kings chapter 5, verse 10. Brother Mario found it a little bit quicker than me. And it reads, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of Yahweh, his Elohim. Now, before that, he came to him because he just wanted to be cleansed of leprosy. Now, Elisha didn't even come see him. Elisha sent a messenger to him and telling him exactly what to do. He says, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of Yahweh, his mighty one, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. So he wanted the whole shebang-a-bang. That's what he wanted. He wanted, oh, Yahweh, come down and cleanse him. You know, that's what he wanted. He wanted a show, you know. But Abba said, just listen to the messenger of the priest, right? He says in verse 12, Ana, Abana, and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. He was upset that he didn't get the answer that he was looking for. Guess what he was doing? Showing disrespect to that priest. He did not honor that priest because the priest told him to do something. Now you're enraged because it wasn't what you wanted, and you're showing disrespect to the priest. Again, when people are in authoritative positions, we have to show them the honor that they deserve, even when we don't want to do it. Don't become enraged just because Abba said to do this and do that and you disagree with it. You know, don't become enraged. Find out why Abba wants you to do it. You know, that's all you got to do is ask him. He says, I give knowledge. Just ask of me. Right? Verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father had bid thee do some great thing. What if thou have not done it? How much rather thee when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? So if he told you to go cut down 500 people and then you won't be a leper no more, you would have went and did this great thing. If he would have told you lift a boulder that you can't pick up and you'd be clean, you would have sure enough tried that. But all he told you to do was take a bath in this particular water. And you complaining, you're upset because you didn't get the bells and whistles that you was looking for. He says, then went he down himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So he got even more so the leprosy gone. He got youthful skin now because he did what Elisha said to. That's what he did. He showed Elisha the proper honor. All right? If we want good things, we have to do what we're being told to do. We have to show the proper honor to the person who's in authority. You know? We have to. Why? He commanded us to do it. If we're under him, we have to do it. He said, verse 15, And he returned to the man of Elohim, and he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, "Behold, now I know there is no mighty one in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." So now, because he listened to him, no shadow of a doubt, there's no mighty one in the earth outside of Yahweh. So he don't know how truly he got blessed just by doing what Elisha said. He got a revelation that only everybody can't say that, that they know of a surety that the only mighty one is the mighty one of Israel. You know? Think of the different times he's moved in your life. You know? He has proven himself to you. Think of the different ways that he's proven himself to you. Why wouldn't you want to honor that person? Why wouldn't you want to honor Yahweh after he done moved in your life, after he done did the impossible? He done things for you that you really didn't deserve. He done gave you honor, and you don't want to give him honor. You know? So again, that's listening to the priest. And in that case, it was a prophet. Give that priest or that prophet the proper respect. Again, this is listening to a priest. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 24. Now, this is dealing with a priest slash prophet, Moses. And it's also dealing with the manna, you know, because we were supposed to gather manna. It rained manna 6 days, right? First 5 days, you gather a certain amount. On that sixth day, you get that double portion, right? But you was only supposed to gather the amount that you can eat, because if you held it over the next day, it stunk, except for on the sixth day, you gather double, right? Exodus 16, chapter 24, he says, "And they laid it up till morning, as Moses bade." Now, the word bade is our word, mitzvah, tzavah, commanded. He's commanding them to hold on to this manna, right? Because this was the six-day manna. He said, "And it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that to the day. For today is the Sabbath unto Yahweh, a day you shall not find it in the fields. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath day, in it shall be none." Now, what did the people do? Verse 27, "And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none." Again, priest told you, he commanded you to get enough on that sixth day so you'll have enough for the sixth and the seventh. You didn't do it. You went out looking for stuff. And guess what? The priest told you correct, because there ain't going to be none on the Shabbat. Ain't going to be none. But you wanted to test them. So you went out and you test them. And guess what? You found out there was none on the Shabbat. So that day you don't get to eat if you didn't hold up enough for those 2 days. You know why? You didn't honor his command. He told you to do this, right? And this is Father the Son too. Also, 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 9. Right. And this is David to Solomon. Actually, it was it's just David talking about Solomon, telling the things that Abba said to him. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 9, he says, "Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest,
and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. So number one, Yahweh telling David to name this son a certain name, right? And he shall build an house for my name. Remember, David couldn't build the house. He was a man of war. He killed a lot of folks. So Abba said, no, you can't build my house. You got blood on your hands, but Solomon, your son, will build the house. He says, and he shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I mean, throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, Yahweh be with thee and prosper thou. Now, this is him talking to his son. First, he was going over all this different stuff. Like, look, this is how you got into this position, all right? Abba promised this to you, so I'm giving it to you. He says, now, my son, Yahweh be with thee and prosper thou and build the house of Yahweh, thy mighty one, as he hath said to thee. Only Yahweh give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge. Now, the word charge, that's our word. All right? Dava. And give thee charge concerning Israel. So he's telling him, as a king, you are to command Israel. But Yahweh is going to prosper you with these things. He says, and wisdom and understanding and knowledge. So use your wisdom, your understanding, and your knowledge to command Israel. King does. This is what this good king does. And in his time, that was the time of peace, because he used his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to keep peace going in Israel. Right? He said, and I will give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of Yahweh, thy mighty one. Now, excuse me, we know he went off a little bit on that part. He ended up building idols and all kinds of stuff, the other mighty ones. But again, Yahweh has a controversy with Israel, right? Because they corrupted the knowledge that was given to them. That's what ends up happening. Solomon was told not to take all these women as wives, all these alien women as wives, because they would turn his heart from Yahweh. He did not listen to Yahweh, as his father told him to. His father told him to listen to the Most High. He didn't listen. And so what happened? His heart ends up turning from the Most High. He ends up building all these idols and everything, and the kingdom gets split. All right? So again, when we stay in the way of the Most High, we're good. When we go out of the way of the Most High, we not so good. You know, bad things happen. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 15, this is dealing with Joseph, right? We have a story like this, and then we have another story, which we went through last week, about the Rechabites. The Rechabites did what their forefather told them, generation after generation after generation. They were told not to drink wine, and they didn't. They didn't drink wine because they were commanded to, like, four or five generations ago. And Yahweh applauded them for that. Why? Because they kept what their father told them. He said, but Israel, you don't do that. So I got an issue with you. Right? Genesis chapter 50, starting at verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us of all the evil which we did unto him. So his brothers scheming again. Their father died. You know, Jacob died. And now their brothers, now Joseph's brothers are going, well, dad's dead. Joseph's in charge. and he might want payback from us selling him into slavery. I know he says it's all good and that Yahweh, you know, he did this. This was of him to save Israel. I understand all that, but he might want payback. So let's view this. Verse 16. This is what they did. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying. Now, the term command again is our word, right? They made up this lie, but they said that Jacob said it, or Israel said it. So, verse 17. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren, and they sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the mighty one of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. So now they sent a dude to lie in the name of Israel to Joseph to make sure that I got a message for you. Your father on his deathbed said, forgive your brothers for this. And now Joseph is thinking that this is his father's last command to him. So what does he do? Show his father the respect and keeping that last command on his deathbed. But that's what Joseph did. He did, even when his father died, if his father gave a command, he did it. He showed his father the command in life and death. So, Israel, why is it that this isn't happening with us? Because when something goes on, see, we got out of the Torah because nobody is keeping it. As a generation leaves, the generation that follows that one doesn't do what the generation before them did, right? So nobody is keeping the command of their father, right? It just kept on getting askew. But we have examples of it here in Joseph and in the Rechabites where if you keep the command of your father, everything's good. You know, Yahweh smiles upon that. But with Israel, it's not like that. You have certain people in Israel who will show that proper honor. But there's that other side that doesn't. Which side will prosper, do you think? You know, the ones that do what the Most High say is going to prosper. Again, we read in Psalms 119, this is how we're going to prosper, by keeping his commands. You know, this is how we move forth. Think about some of the stuff that you were taught over the years. Your understanding of the scriptures, and this is what I mean by prosper, because a lot of people believe that prosper and financial wealth and this, that, and another, when the Most High said, those who say gain is godly, stay away from them, right? But think of how you see the scriptures now, that you then kept this Sabbath as your father commanded. You keep on going through Moses as was commanded us. That Moses is read every Shabbat. So think of how many times we're going through the whole Bible now, but think of how many times we went through the Torah portion, just the first five books, and different understandings out of that first five books kept on coming out. It just kept on changing, you know, and I'm saying changing in a good sense. I should say growing or enhancing instead of changing. It just enhanced or got better. You understood more, you know, because you kept on going through it. So now these stories in Genesis, they have more of a meaning to you because you kept on going through it and more was being revealed and revealed. Why? Because you kept that commandment. Obey the Shabbat. Come together on the Shabbat. Moses read on the Shabbat. Right? In 2 Kings chapter 20, starting at verse 1. And again, this is on the same lines as what we just read a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Excuse me. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, excuse me. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, set thy house in order. The word order, right? That's our word. For thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto Yahweh, saying, I beseech thee, O Yahweh, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. So he gets the message from the prophet. You about to die. Get your affairs straight. Command your house. Let them know what's going on. Who's next in line? Who's in charge? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Get your affairs in order. What does Hezekiah do? Remember me. I've walked in your ways. I've done the things that you said was the whole of man. I've done those things. So remember me. And he cried, meaning he, when we talked about that emotional force, it wasn't, oh, Father, I've done these things. Father, remember me, please. Force. He meant it where Yahweh felt. You know? He was trying to impress upon his father that he want to live. You know? And so what happens? Verse 4. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of Yahweh came to him, saying, turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of our people, thus saith Yahweh, the mighty one of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up unto the house of Yahweh, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the servant of David and for my servant David's sake. All that because he touched the Most High. You know? He touched him. So now, him being the king, not only is he going to prosper, but everybody under him is going to prosper because he touched the Most High. You know? Cannot fake this thing. You know? You can't give fake glory. You can't give fake honor to the Most High. Like you said, when we looked at the command, intensive commitment, a strong commitment. You know? He want to know who's really about his business, as we say all the time. You know, that's what he wants. Let me do that. Right. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23. Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting at verse 23. It reads, take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of Yahweh, your mighty one, which he made with you, and make you a graven image or the likeness of anything which Yahweh, your mighty one, has forbidden thee. The word forbidden, that's our word. All right? So Yahweh told us not to make such stuff. Again, in those 10 commandments, which I screwed up on earlier. In those things, he commanded us not to make false images, graven idols, anything of the likeness of the heaven above, on the earth beneath, was under the earth. You know? Don't make graven images. right? He says, verse 24, for Yahweh, thy mighty one, is a consuming fire, even a jealous mighty one. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the eyes of in the sight of Yahweh, thy mighty one, to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. Why? When we don't give honor to the Most High, right? And we do the things that he forbidden us to do. Don't do this, he says. And we do it anyway, and we don't bring honor to the Most High, we get destroyed. Because we're out of his path. We're out of his way. Text us, he keeps us hedged up, right? And we have to give him his honor and his glory. All right? So now, last verse. Any questions or comments? Galatians chapter 5. Starting at verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So, temperance, we understood that's self-control. Controlling yourself. In other words, commanding yourself. Right? Take authority over yourself in the way. Make a strong commitment, a conscious effort to stay within the path of the Most High. That's what we all have to do. We have the commands of our forefathers. We have the word of Yahweh. Now it takes a strong effort on our part to do these things. We have to be assertive. We have to assert ourselves and walk within his path. All right? No one can do that for us. And that we have to do consciously on our own, every day, 24 hours a day. You know? Not saying you have to be a robot. But understand when you step out of the word of the Most High. We know when we take it too far. Everybody does. They know when they take it too far. As far as a believer goes, the Most High is not a respecter of persons. He will warn you. He will tell you. He'll send you signs. All right? Repent. That being said, and that ends Bible 101 today. Yep, that is Bible 101 today. So, any questions or comments? You got a comment? Uh-huh. Okay. Kokun. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Abiyah, in the name of thy son Yahushua HaMashiach, save and redeemer to us all, Father. Thank you. Once again, Father, for setting this time apart for us, your children, Father. Thank you for giving us sound minds, sound bodies, Father. Thank you for giving us all the tools needed, Father, to get back to you, Father. Thank you for giving us your spirit. Thank you for giving us your son. Thank you for all the things that you do for us, Father, on a daily basis, Father. Keeping us in your way, protecting us, leading us, and guiding us, Father. Thank you for being, open our minds and our hearts, Father. Put your spirit upon our brother, Mariel, as he brings forth your word, Father. Let him do and say the things which are pleasing to you only, Father.
that they may edify us, that they may build us up, Father. Father, continue to bring forth the truth of your word. Continue to bring forth knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your word, Father. Continue to protect and perfect your children, Father. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origins unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.